This is Voices of Luxury with JQ. I'm JQ Louise. I'm a travel writer, influencer, and content creator based in Boston, but I've traveled all around the world. And on my podcast, I'm interviewing lots of interesting guests from the world of luxury, yachting, and travel. And I'm so excited to have you here with me. So let's get started. So today I'm here with Captain Eddie Lucas. Most of us know him from Below Deck, but he's doing a ton of cool things. He's a tugboat captain. He's doing a really cool sailing trip around the world to lots of different locations. So yeah, thanks for chatting with us, Eddie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So maybe to kick things off, like, let's learn a little bit more about your background. Like, I know, you know, like, I first saw you on Below Deck, but I'd love to hear about how, you know, you got into tugboating and just, you know, how you grew up around boats and sailing and all of that.
Yeah. So I started off very young. My family had a sailboat, a beautiful wooden sailboat called Seahorse. And that's where I cut my teeth on sailing up in Massachusetts around Elizabethan Islands and Cutty Hunk and Martha's Vineyard. And that's really kind of where I fell in love with being on the water and being on boats. And then at college, I started working at a summer camp. I was a camp counselor, and that's where I got my first OUPV captain's license. I was teaching water skiing and sailing. And I was out on the water every day on the Chesapeake Bay, having a blast, loving it. And that's really where kind of started the professional boating career that I had. After college, obviously, you know about Below Deck, got into that, and I loved it, and I loved yachting. It was a lot of fun, but also dealing with really demanding guests takes a toll. I also wanted to have kind of a more settled life, and I liked the idea of being able to kind of have a house and, you know, have a solid relationship and all that. So yachting, it makes that very difficult because you're always away. So I started looking around the area where my dad lives in Baltimore here and found tugboating. And so for about 12 years now, I've been working on tugboating and I'm a captain now. But that's pretty much in a nutshell, my life is on water. Very small nutshell.
So do you think you want to be a tugboat captain? Like, that's your, for the foreseeable future? Like,
No, I'm actually kind of trying to transition out of tugboats and trying to get into something that has a little bit more growth involved into it and maybe has a little bit more kind of even more of a normal schedule. You know, the 2 week on, 2 week off that I work, I mean, everybody's like, oh my God, you get 2 weeks off at a time. That's amazing. And yeah, it is amazing. It allows me to travel and have a lot of fun, but still it's those 2 weeks that I'm working. It's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of time away and, you know, for my relationships and for my dog, Bert, it's not ideal, you know, so trying to transition to something maybe a little bit different. I've got a couple other irons in the fire. I've started working with a really great company called Splash City Golf that's making biodegradable golf balls here in the U.S. And, you know, yachts, anybody who works in yachts know we have biodegradable golf balls on them. So I'm starting to kind of do some work with them, which has been really great and a lot of fun, but also I'm still doing kind of captaining on the side, but smaller captaining. I'm running as a captain for a company called Rhythm and Sails, where we go out into the Caribbean with a flotilla of multiple catamarans around 50 foot in length. And we put on concerts on a few different islands.
Cool.
Really amazing artists. And it's hard to explain how much fun this trip is. It's a different experience. It's life changing and it's so much fun. I love doing it. And so I'm trying to do a little bit more of that also. And, you know, just doing more bareboat charters on the sides with my company and with Rhythm and Sails. It's been great. So yeah, I mean, I'm still want to be on the water and still captaining, but maybe just looking for something that's a little bit more.
Just a better schedule.
Yeah. Better schedule is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So where have you done these trips in the Caribbean? Like what islands or, you know, what are the routes or.
Mostly where we do Rhythm and Sails is we leave from St. Vincent and we go south to Beckway. And then from Beckway, we go down to Mauru. And then Mauru, we go to Mystique, which is a really cool little private island, very neat. And then Mystique back to St. Vincent. And then I'll take the boat up to St. Lucia and drop it off in St. Lucia. But that's what I do with Rhythm and Sails. I also have been doing some sailing trips personally in the Exumas, which have been fantastic, Harbor Island, Wells, even to Bimini, to Fort Lauderdale. It's been a lot of fun just having those kind of personal explorations on that.
So what kind of boat are you on, like when you're doing those personal trips?
I'm on a 56-foot Hylas, which is a monohull, really sweet boat. And I'm lucky enough to have a friend that owns it. So we're able to go out as a time together. It's a great time.
Cool. So what's been your favorite, like, new island that you've been to lately? Like, what's your favorite right now out of all these places?
I mean, Harbor Island is an amazing island. I absolutely love Harbor Island. It's got everything that you could want, and it's small and not too developed. But then going from Harbor Island around to some of the very undeveloped islands like Wardrick Wells is just absolutely incredible. I'm going to islands that don't have a huge Western presence, let's say. A lot of the Caribbean culture is really important to me, and it actually feels like I'm traveling. And because I love being able to go to an island and get, you know, some of the local fare, you know, some of the Caribbean food is my favorite. It kind of rubs me the wrong way when I go to a place. Yeah, and you know, you try to go eat food and it's all like Italian and Japanese and American. And you're like, well, wait a second, like where's my oxtail stew? You know, like I want to go get some curry. When I travel, I like to be, you know, in the culture and not just feeling like I'm in another part of America.
I know, me too. I mean, you know, it's so funny now. It's such a challenge to actually travel somewhere and feel like you're somewhere different. Because all these international brands are everywhere. Yes. And, you know, it makes sense because that's where people are going and they want familiar things. But I don't know if you've traveled, like, you know, if you travel all the time, the whole point is to actually see something new or see something different than what you're used to. So exactly. I don't know. I know. And especially in the Caribbean, because so many Americans go to these places, I feel like a lot of the islands are either islands full of Americans or islands full of British or.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you don't feel like you're actually in another country. You're in another part of America. I mean, hey, I love America. I mean, some of the most beautiful places in the world are here in America, but it's, you know, that's not where I go to another country.
Exactly. All right. So maybe let's talk a little bit about Below Deck. I know everybody loves to hear about that. So which seasons were you on? You were on a bunch.
I was on a few. Yeah. I was on seasons 1, 2, and 3, then 8 and 9.
Okay, cool. And I think you and I, we actually did a podcast episode, I think probably in between those last two. Because I double checked. I was like, okay, we did a podcast episode. It was like during COVID. And I think it was like right before the St. Kitts. What season was the St. Kitts and Nevis? Maybe it was season 8.
I think that might have been season 8. I'm from season 9. Where was that? That was, it feels like it was so long ago now. That's why I remember. And it all kind of blends into one. Because when you're filming, you know, you talk about not being able to go and experience a country or culture. That's that one part of it. I mean, my gosh, hard to experience anything when you got 3 cameras in your face. But yeah, I think that was St. Kitts and Nevis. So it might have been season 8. No, that was season 9, St. Kitts and Nevis. And then, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I remember, because when I looked up, I was like, okay, when did I interview him? And it was, listened to a little bit of the episode and we talked about St. Kitts and Nevis. And it was funny because I actually went to St. Kitts and Nevis twice, like 2 months later after that. And I stayed the first time on Nevis and the second time on St. Kitts. And it's funny, that's a great destination too. It's something a little bit different than what people are used to, you know, when you're going down to the Caribbean, especially from, so I'm in Boston. So, you know, everybody from Boston's going to Aruba, Puerto Rico.
Right.
You know, BVIs. But yeah, St. Kitts and Nevis was cool. It really, Nevis is pretty untouched. Like, honestly, parts of it reminded me of, like, Bali and stuff like that with, you know, the rainforest and all the huge trees and the mountain and everything. And then St. Kitts had a ton of culture, like, tons of stuff going on.
Yeah, St. Kitts and Nevis are great islands. They're really beautiful, very untouched, still very strong with the Caribbean culture. I love those islands. Highly recommend anybody who's going on vacation to go over there, as I'm sure you would also.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those are fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. Well, and I think, like, I don't know. I think now that there are more flight options too, for people are trying to venture out a little bit more than just the JetBlue direct flights that they've been taking for the past 10 years.
Right.
So I don't know. That's been a good thing.
Oh, very good thing. I just found out that Baltimore, where I'm from here, Baltimore, BWI is now going to start direct flights to Aruba. So yeah. I'm pretty stoked about that. I know it's going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of these places are so much fun. Like, and each destination definitely has a time and a place for the type of experience you're looking for. Like Aruba is a ton of fun for any water sports. Like right. If you want to do any kind of water sports, it's so easy, so accessible. And, you know, the people are so nice and just the weather is so consistent. That's the other thing. Like, you know, in the Caribbean, you really have to look at what weather pattern does that island have, because, definitely. You know, that can make or break, you know, your trip for it's sure.
Really true. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely look into the weather. Anytime you travel, you got to find out the best time to go. And also with the Caribbean, you really got to look at also hurricane season. I mean, I know that a few of those islands, especially down the same as the Grenadines, were actually ravaged in the past year, a couple of years by hurricanes. But it's still, I mean, we were a little, this past May, we were just down the same as the Grenadines sailing, and we were a little worried about the hurricane. What was that? Hurricane Helena, I think that would hit down there. Mm-hmm. Really, we were a little worried about it, but man, those islands, they are able to bounce back so quickly, and they're still so, so beautiful and stunning. Yeah,
exactly.
The weather is just incredible.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I went to Canoan 2 years ago. Yeah, Canoan.
Hold on.
And like, it was like a year after they had a hurricane, but you know, they bounced back, and it's crazy because these islands are tiny and they get, you know, things get wiped out, but you know, the people are, you know, so resilient and everything.
They just were filming Below Deck in Canawan.
Oh.
When I was down at St. Vincent and the Grenadines, I actually ran across the yacht that they were filming on. I was chatting with them over the radio.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, it was Captain Jason.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no way. Cool.
Yeah, ran into the yacht.
Cool.
Ugly yacht, though. Really just smoke pot. Had a lot of smoke coming out of it. A lot of drops.
It's
not bones.
So, okay, for Below Deck, so what's, like, tell us, what is it actually like filming and, you know, doing your job on the boat the whole time? Like,
yeah, it's
like, how does that actually work?
It doesn't work. I think that's kind of the point of it. Obviously, you know, it's a reality television show. It's going to be based on drama, and you know, the most common question that I ever get about it is, you know, is it scripted? Well, it's not scripted, but it's facilitated. And part of the facilitation of the drama is making sure the crew members are, you know, absolutely exhausted and just wiped out. Don't have, you know, as a bosun, as like a manager, you don't have the right crew who don't have good experience. So that's stress. You're not getting enough sleep.
Well, so here's my question. So on, you know, when you're the bosun on a normal boat, not on a TV show, like, what's the turnover like? Because, you know, on Below Deck, people are getting fired all the time. Like, that doesn't, you know, like, that can't be normal.
Honestly, that could be normal. It's up to the captain and up to the crew. If they take a crew member on, obviously they're going to have a CV that is, you know, up to par to being on a yacht that size. On Below Deck, I mean, we're hiring people who have never stepped foot on a boat over, you know, 60 feet in length. And you're like, all of a sudden we're putting them on a 160 foot yacht. You're like, that doesn't, you know, they've never tied a lot to a bollard. They've only ever, you know, tied cleats. They don't understand these things. It's a totally different animal when you're working on a yacht that size. Mm-hmm. So that's not normal. But what is normal is that if you hire somebody and they don't vibe with the rest of the crew, they're going to get let go. I mean, there's so many people, especially since Below Deck that has come out, that want to get into this industry, that want a yacht. So there's a line of people out the door wanting to be a part of this industry that wants to get on boats. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, if you're not vibing with us, if you're not going to work, if you're not going to be part of the crew, you know, okay, see ya. And they're going to let them go pretty easily. You know, usually they give them the time. They're not firing people so willy-nilly like they do on Below Deck. But still, like, if they do a charter and it doesn't work out, like, see ya. You know, they require such a high level of competency, of ability, and they have such high expectations of product they're putting out. If you're not able to should I ever look hash, you know, keep it on, you're gonna get replaced. Again, a lot of that has to do with the crew you're with, the captain you're with. Some captains are willing to give you the time to train you, to make sure that, you know, help you be successful. But other charter yachts, they may have too much of a demanding season and they don't have time to be training you. They need you to hit the ground running. If you can't do that, then yeah, they'll let you go.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, I really wonder, and I've spoken to people about this, that, you know, since Below Deck has gotten so popular and there's so many, you know, Below Deck Med, Below Deck Sailing Out, like all the, you know, there's so many shows now, you know, just the number of people, like, you know, the number of 20-year-olds that want to become deckhands or stewardesses or whatever has like skyrocketed. And initially people were like, I wonder if more people are going to be chartering yachts or like more inquiries with charter brokers and things like that. But, you know, that's kind of, that's been stable because obviously at a certain price point to, you know, even charter a yacht or whatever, but, you know, the number of people who want to become crew had like skyrocketed over the past few years. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I mean, I know that a lot of like the original yachties and especially people who were in the industry when Below Deck started only hated Below Deck for that. And I totally get that. I mean, we, Below Deck came out and we told a lot of secrets and we blew up this industry. And then all of a sudden, all these people wanted to come in who were incompetent or, you know, don't have the experience and, you know, are kind of watering down the industry. And, you know, I get that, but yeah, obviously the being able to charter a yacht's a different animal. I mean,
yeah,
I was surprised. I would have thought that maybe there was a little bit of an increase in it, but still the price point is so ridiculous that there's only a certain percentage of people that can actually charter it.
The increase that I've seen, and especially from the brokers that I've spoken to over the years, is that COVID was a big switch where more people were chartering because, you know, at a certain price point, if you have a whole, if you have a big family, you want to go on a nice trip, you know, if you're going to a 5-star hotel, honestly, at some point the price becomes equivalent, you know, to do a week on a yacht versus a week with multiple villas and multiple rooms, you know, at these 5-star hotels. So I've heard that, you know, COVID with the need for privacy and just people want to be away from everybody and all the nonsense, that was kind of a pivot point, but I think it's kind of leveled out at this point.
Yeah, it probably has leveled out now that, you know, COVID is
Much over. Yeah, no more, regulations and all that. But yeah, I mean, I guess what else about Below Deck? Like what surprised you the most, like year after year? Because you did multiple seasons, like what surprised you about the whole experience with the cameras and whatever? Like,
I mean, it all surprised me. It was a big surprising experience altogether. I mean, it was never my intention to be on a reality television show. Since I was on season one, like I never wanted to be on television.
So then how did you get on season one, I guess?
They found me.
Really?
They found me. I was, you know, I'm at CBI with a crew finding agency and I guess they had somebody lined up to be on season one, somebody else, some Australian person. And I think it was like 2-3 weeks before we started filming, they backed out. And so they, I guess, were kind of looking through CVs and found me. And one day as I was working my retail job selling camping gear here in Baltimore, I got a call and they said, hey, you want to work on the yacht? I said, yeah, sure. And they said, well, this yacht's a little different. You know, they pitched it as a reality documentary on a major broadcasting network.
Yeah.
And I was, well, I love documentaries.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Then after that season one was the Wild West. Nobody had any idea what was going on. It was just absolutely crazy. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But then after that, they kind of started figuring it out. Season two, season three, things were getting crazy. And then I took some time off after season three, obviously. And see, it came back for season 8 and 9 and it's just a well-oiled machine. You know, now you're Below Deck Sailing, Below Deck Med. And it's just, it was a different animal, but it's still just, such a crazy experience. I mean, not just filming and having cameras in your face and having to kind of deal with this constant drama every day, but then even everything that came after it and, you know, having, you know, people who are fans and, you know, people who are thinking that you're a big deal, which I'm really not. I'm just.
So how's that? Like, cause you have your quiet, you know, tugboat life, you're just like behind the scenes, but how do you deal with like are people still bothering you all the time, like coming up to you when they see, recognize you and stuff, or like?
No, not all the time. Not all the time. I mean, it does happen. It always kind of surprises me. And it's like I'm honored by it that you think that I'm important enough or I'm like, you know, exciting enough to like yell at from across the street. Like I was just out and, you know, my friends give me shit about it. They really do. They laugh at me about it. But I was just out in Boulder, Colorado, going to some concerts. And one of my friends I was out there with was like, you think anybody's going to recognize you out here? I was like, nah. I'm like, come on, we're in Colorado. It's not going to happen. We went out to lunch the first day I was there. And as I was leaving the restaurant, I heard someone behind me like scream out, like, and I thought it was just my friend giving me a hard time, like kind of making me, you know, made me feel weird. But I turned around, it was just like some random fan that was just really excited. And, you know, I was happy to take pictures with him. And, you know, just it's funny and it makes me giggle. And I think it's ridiculous also at the same time.
That's funny. So, now, what about the guests, though? So I really wonder, how are the guests, like, how do the guests behave, like, with the cameras and everything? Because obviously the guests who are going on the show, you know, it's literally the opposite of like a normal guest, because if you're chartering a yacht, you want privacy, you want to just have fun, you want to do whatever you want. Like, do you think these people care, or they did it just to be on the show? Like, that's what I feel like a lot of people wonder about.
I think the guests that are on the show are completely different than a real charter.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is it just the whole experience and what you're trying to achieve from chartering a yacht is completely opposite.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, like a real charter guest wants privacy and quiet time and everything like that. Like, and then below deck, they want attention and they want craziness. They want to be on the show. I mean,
yeah.
Also, you know, they're also getting a massive discount to be on below deck. So they're not normal charter guests. Also, below deck is like 3, maybe 4 days.
Yeah. It's a really weird, like, time.
Really short amount of time. Yeah. And so every single day they want everything. It's crazy. Like, there's never a time when they're actually sitting like up on the sun deck, lounging, reading a book, you know, which real charter guests do. Like, they want to sleep in, they want to relax, they want to have a vacation. Where I'm pretty sure the below deck guests, after they get off below deck, they're like, oh my God, like, I'm exhausted, I need a vacation.
Yeah. Now they need a normal vacation.
I need a normal vacation. Like, I just need to relax. That was insane. Yeah. And I do know that production is like, you know, we want you to speak out. We want you to, you know, if something is wrong, we want you to, you know,
Make a big deal out of everything.
Make a big deal about things, you know, be demanding. You know, they want them to be that way. And these guests, you know, they're coming on below deck and they know they're on below deck. And they know how it goes. They're like, oh, I want to be that guest. I want to be kind of out there. And there is a difference between some of the guests we've had. I mean, there are guests that are, you know, they're still demanding and they're coming on below deck. They want the attention. But they're also like really cool and good people, and they're having fun and they want to have fun with the crew. And I mean, that's the guest that I liked having is, you know, we're going to be boisterous and loud and fun, but we're going to be fun. We want to have fun.
You know, being nice, like not being.
Yeah, we're going to be nice about
it. The crew and everything.
Right. And then you have, like you said, the opposite of that, of the ones that are really demanding and, you know, just new money kind of people.
Yeah. Well, and they obviously just wanted to be on the show. Like, that was their only reason.
They just want to be on the show. They want the attention, and they'll get that attention any way possible. And they think the best way to get that attention is to be demanding and rude. And, you know, they think that acting that way is like, oh, this is how rich people act. But it's like, that's not it. Yeah. And I can't stand those guests. I can't stand.
Yeah.
The 5 seasons I did, we definitely had a mix of the two, but it was mostly this really demanding, annoying, you know, just kind of classless.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's why the audience, you know, then the audience is on the cruise side, you know, when they're being such, you know, like they're behaving like that. It's like, okay, they're the villain of that episode. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Those guests do make us look better. I do say that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. A lot of. Yeah. Well, people can, you know, because nobody wants to be treated like that. No matter what situation it is, because some of these people act insane. Like nobody would act like that, you know, especially if you're on a nice vacation and literally to relax. Like,
It's crazy. I can't imagine why anybody would ever act like that. And it's just, I feel like when people actually do act like that on the show, it makes it really obvious that this is your first time.
Whenever anybody acts like that in any kind of like high-end, nice environment, it just is the total opposite, because it's like, if you're somewhere, you know, where you're paying a lot of money to relax and to enjoy yourself, you know, why do you have a bad attitude?
Right. Why have a bad attitude? And also just like, act like you've been here before. You know, it's so obvious, and it's just ridiculous to be acting that way. So act like you've been here before.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and especially when all the crew is doing nothing but being nice and helpful and doing whatever you demand, like, you know, like, I think that's one thing on the show that shows, you know, how hard yachties work, is that, you know, no one has ever, like, any of the episodes I've seen, none of the crew has ever, like, talked back to a guest or, like, you know, fought back and forth with them or anything. Like, you know, I think that really shows that, okay, even on the show, you know, you guys are all doing your best to help the guests and, you know, all that.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I think the Below Deck, it does show how hard yachties work and shows how much they sacrifice, how much they bite their tongue.
Yeah. Well, because we see the behind the scenes, you know, once, like, if, you know, somebody like dealing with a guest and they're just being polite, you know, and the guest is being so mean and so rude, and, you know, the stewardess or whoever is like just saying, okay, yep. And then, you know, when they turn around the corner and then they talk to the camera or talk to whatever, you can see.
Oh, yeah. But that's the greatest part. That's the big reason why I don't understand why people even pay money to be on Below Deck, to be a guest. You know, we're going to trash you, right?
Yeah. Like two seconds later behind
the scenes. 2 seconds later, which is real. I mean, like, what happens down in the crew quarters, you know, stays in crew quarters on the real yacht. Below Deck, like, we're letting it all hang out. We're going to trap you right as soon as we get around that corner. But rightfully so. If you're going to be rude to us, we're going to trash you.
So what's the most over-the-top thing any guest has asked for? Like, real guest or on Below Deck, like, what's the most over-the-top, like, beach setup or excursion, like, whatever?
I mean, it was all so over-the-top. I mean, but the big part of that was, like I said, because it was so rushed. You know, it was 3-4 days. In those 3-4 days, those guests want everything. You know, they want all the toys, they want the slide, they want beach excursions, they want, you know, everything. They want to go to a party and on shore, they want to have a blast. It's just that, like, they want it all immediately.
Yeah.
And it's why we do. I mean, beach excursions blows my mind. Like, why would you ever want to go have a sandy like picnic when you have a 25, 30, 60, $100 million yacht where you can have right there and beyond? And hey, go to the beach, have fun, go snorkeling. Like, I love going to the beach and feeling the sand in my toes, but I don't want to go and eat.
Yeah.
Eat from the beach. Like, that's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the worst day of yachting that I ever had wasn't because of the guest. It was because of Captain Lee. He beat me to death one day. And, you know, maybe I deserved it because we had a day off. We were off the yacht. It was like during a dark day of filming. That's like when they sequester everybody and we're off the boat, because the camera operators in production, they have to have a day off because they're union. And so they sequester everyone. And, you know, we were supposed to be hanging out, not doing anything, but instead a bunch of us snuck out of the hotel and went to a full moon party and partied all night long. Didn't get back to the hotel.
Like a Thailand party, like Thailand full moon.
Like, yeah, it was like a full moon party, like in Thailand, like to do a Thailand, but this was in Tortola.
Okay.
And we partied all night long, didn't get back to the hotel till like 8 a.m. and production had been looking for us and we're like pissed. And we went back to the boat and they told Captain Lee about it. And when we picked up a charter that afternoon, and Captain Lee proceeded to have the deck crew, because it was all deck crew that snuck out and, you know, went and partied. And he had deck crew set up and take down the slide like 3 or 4 times. Like, we'd set up the slide, bring it in, move anchor, set it up again, take it in, move anchor, set it up. It was the longest day of my life.
Oh, my God.
Completely ridiculous. I was so beat up by the end of it. Yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
Classic Captain Lee.
Classic. I never had to play, though. I didn't. I had one deck hand that dropped out, but he was rough. I don't want to name any names. You know, I don't want to embarrass him anymore, but, you know, he got destroyed. We were all destroyed, but Captain Lee was just, I remember him watching and just giggling to himself.
Classic.
Yeah.
Do you stay in touch with Captain Lee?
Yeah, I do. I do. I talk to him occasionally. And I'm pretty good. I just saw him. I just went down to Florida in March and saw him and Connie, and we had lunch, got dinner together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we keep in touch.
That's great. What about anybody else that you stay in touch with? Like any of your buddies from the show?
I don't talk to too many people. Ben reached out to me the other day, but we didn't really catch up very much. But then I've been, you know, chatting with Connie a little bit here and there. We had a really great time when we were down in Fort Lauderdale together. So we've been kind of keeping in touch, which has been neat.
Nice.
Other than that, yeah, not too many people.
Yeah.
Tough when I'm going all the way up here in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. So different than Below Deck. So what's like a day in the life when you're on the tugboat?
Well, my day starts around 4:30 in the morning, but it's all, you know, it's very blue collar work. Big steel tugboat. We're docking ships. So it's definitely different. We're just get up 4:30 in the morning and get on the sticks and working with pilots, docking ships, pushing and pulling, and it's contact sport. And, you know, it's just four guys running a tugboat. Just,
oh, that's it.
Yeah, just four guys. Yeah, my tugboat's about 86 feet long.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty big, though. Like, that's
pretty big. Yeah, 5,000 horsepower, though. So it's a lot. It's like an engine with a hull wrapped around it. It's teak to scrub or stainless steel to polish.
Yeah.
During the summers, we do like chip and paint a lot, but it's like, especially in these hot Baltimore summers, it was like 157 degrees on the deck the other day. I took the temp gun out and shot the deck, and it was 157 degrees.
Oh my God.
So it gets hot, but we're very focused around safety a lot more than yachting. It's a big part of it. So, you know, we just kind of just do our job and do our 2 weeks and get out of there.
So how many boats do you guys guide in every day or every week? Like,
you know, it ebbs and flows a bit, but it's, I'd say on average, like during our 2 week hitch, on average, we've probably been going up. So we're getting busier and busier. We're probably doing around 75 jobs for 2 weeks now. But, you know, I have hit 100 jobs for 2 weeks, you know, busy.
How long, like, so when you're, you know, when you're assigned to guide in one of the cargo ships, you like, how long does that take for you to bring them? Like for your process, like how long is that? Like, what does that look like?
Like a docking usually takes about an hour. On average, takes about an hour for a docking. A staling takes about a half hour from start to finish. And then we also do a shift boats. We'll ship the ship from one dock to another dock. And that's about an hour and a half because it's a sailing and a docking.
Yeah.
That's usually how long it takes. But then we have run times. Our run times from like one job to the next, usually on average, I say is about a half hour also, but that's different for every port. In Baltimore, where it's pretty condensed port, we got all the docks right around each other. So it's shorter run times. I mean, there's other ports like up in Philly. I mean, you can have a 3 hour run time to get to a job that only takes a half hour, 15 minutes and then 3 hours back. So it's, you know, it's very, it changes a lot, but yeah, we're busy. We're busy probably doing, you know, 6-7 jobs a day around there.
And it's busier in the summer, like in the warmer months, or it's all year?
All year round. All year round. I mean, Baltimore is the furthest west East Coast port. A lot of cars, we call them ro-ros, roll on, roll off. So car equipment, I mean, farm equipment, cars, anything with wheels. Well, we do a lot of those. We do a lot of container ships. Well, CVs, ultra large container vessels, deep water port also, so we can bring those big ships in.
Yep.
And Baltimore is a very efficient port. They're able to turn around ships really quickly. So ships love coming to Baltimore.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah. So what's your next, like, what's your schedule? So you're on your 2 weeks off right now?
Yeah, I'm on my 2 weeks off right now. I just spent a week out in Colorado with some friends, going to some concerts. This week, I'm just kind of hanging out, taking care of some stuff around the house. And then I'm back on this upcoming Monday. So,
Yeah,
I do my 2 weeks and then I'll do my 2 weeks on. And then who knows what's next? I don't have too many plans coming up.
Do you have any of those rhythm and sail? Like, what's your next schedule for the sailing trips?
Well, we do have another. The next Rhythm of Sail trip is scheduled, but we got a little bit of a wait coming up. You know, we only do about like one of those a year. There's a possibility that we're going to be doing more coming up. So kind of just but waiting for that. We haven't announced when those dates are, but it's going to be very similar to this past year around the beginning of May. So really excited about that again happening. It's such a good time. But also I'm open to get some more kind of private charters happening. You know, I've been working with some people planning charters and doing some private chartering. If, you know, anybody ever wants to go sailing with me, they can always contact me and I can go out and sail with them and crew it with some people that I trust and have a great time doing it. So I've been really enjoying kind of doing my own, doing my private captaining and private crewing. Because, it's, you know, bareboat chartering, I think, has been getting a lot more popular. But the thing is, you know, a lot of people don't know how to sail. And so when you go after private chartering, they have to get their own, you know, they're kind of relying on the charter company to provide crew. I found that that's kind of sketchy. A lot of that turns a lot of people off from chartering.
Well, people don't know where to start. Like, so it is, I feel like it is so popular. People want to, you know, go sailing and either, because I feel like all the catamarans, like a lot, those are so popular. Like, I know there's a lot of sites where you can book those. But when you see these where it's literally just, you know, the boat or add a captain, add a crew, but it's like, who are they?
Who are they?
You don't know. Exactly. Like,
so now I can plan out the whole trip for them and then I'll crew it with myself if I can be there, but most likely myself because I want to go sailing also. And then also a couple crew that'll make sure that you have the best food and best time possible.
Cool. So how should people reach out to you if they want to do something like that?
You can also reach out to me always through my Instagram. I'm going to be making kind of a more of a professional business Instagram also. But you can reach out to me through my Instagram. I'm pretty well up on that. So, you know, always contact me there.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for chatting today. This was so much fun. So much fun to talk Below Deck always and learn about, you know, all the tugboat stuff is so cool too. I mean, that's like literally runs everything in America, like everything we get through those ports and everything. So really cool.
Great. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking about it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks so much for joining me here today on Voices of Luxury with JQ. I'm JQ Louise. We have new episodes every week, so be sure to like and subscribe. Follow me at JQ Louise on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other social media platforms. I'm so excited to share my travel life with you and, of course, all of the great tips from my lovely guests. So thanks so much.